Well, good morning. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we too want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the chance to come together to celebrate, not ourselves, but you, our faithful God. Lord, as we remember and spend time in thankfulness, we pray that you would be truly honored for your grace in our lives and in the life of this church. Lord, in your word, in Psalm 89:1, it says, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. So, Lord, may this morning be a morning where we make known your faithfulness to all generations. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here to celebrate our 9th anniversary as a church. Recently, I was asked by someone who was surprised that it's been 9 years. And the question wasn't really like, did you think God would do this or that? It's always seems to be that just like, did you really think you'd make it? Kind of like they're surprised and they want me to be as surprised. And I am surprised. I'm not sure what the over-under was on us, but there seems to be genuine shock that we've been here for 9 years. When I was younger, before I was married, I didn't really see the value in anniversaries. In fact, I had this plan that if I got married, I should marry someone who was born on Valentine's Day, and then we'd get married on Valentine's Day. And the reason was we could just celebrate all three in one day, right? Birthday, Valentine's Day, anniversary. So not only that, but I figured, what are the odds that I forget all three? Yeah, sure, two maybe, but not all three, right? I got to remember one of them, and if I remember one of them, I remember all of them. So that's the foolproof thinking from a single guy. Some of you are wondering, how did that guy ever get married? And my theory is, not only can God make blind eyes see, but he can make seeing eyes blind, and here I am. So praise God for that. Now that I'm older, I love our anniversary. I'm like, wait, I have an excuse to leave my kids at home with someone usually and spend a nice night out with my wife. You know, what a grace that is. And so I'm very thankful for that. I think it does bring up the question, though, why celebrate an anniversary as a church? I mean, is it an excuse to eat food? This is Lighthouse. There's never need for an excuse to eat food. Is it to look at the great things that we have done? The reason we celebrate an anniversary is to make sure we remember God's grace in our lives. It's easy to go through life, and even church, forgetting God's powerful faithfulness and his amazing grace. I think we have to realize that we as a people are prone to forget. And I don't think we need to think too hard to realize this. I mean, for those of you who are husbands, isn't it easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and forget exactly how much your wife does? To not appreciate and to take for granted all the things that your wife does to make your family run well? And for those of you wives who are elbowing your husbands right now, when's the last time you thanked your husband for working so hard to provide for the family or for what he does? For those of you who are younger, how often do you take your parents for granted? How often do you thank them and are appreciative of them and think about deeply about all the things they've done for you to be a grace to you? We're people who are prone to forget. And actually, this is why this is a common theme in the Bible. The idea of remembering and forgetting is used over 300 times in scriptures. Because God, our great designer, knows our hearts, marked by depravity, that we are prone to forget those things that are most important. Namely, we're prone to forget God. And it doesn't mean necessarily like you forget, am I a Christian? Not that kind of forget. It's more in the busyness of lives and in our pride, we forget the amazing grace of our Lord. With that in mind, I want us to just take a brief look at a passage where God warns against the danger of forgetting. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, very briefly, as a reminder, the Jews are about to enter the promised land, a land of people who hate them and, needless to say, aren't going to let Israel walk in and have Canaan unhindered. And so Moses addresses the nation, and when he does this, he doesn't really put his greatest focus on military strategy. Instead, he gives them the word of God again. That's what Deuteronomy means, the second law. As we come to chapter 8, Moses expresses a concern from God that he's worried that we will forget God. Now, part of me thinks this has got to be ridiculous. This is the mighty God of Israel, their God, the God who brought plagues upon Egypt, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who brought water out of rocks. He sustained them in the desert with manna that was literally food from heaven. The nation of Israel had witnessed miracles that were unknown to the rest of the world. Not only that, but to settle the promised land they were entering, full of people more powerful than them and who hated them, it was going to take an act of God. Surely it'd be impossible for them to forget God after that. And maybe to top it off, they are a theocracy, a nation built around God. So much in the Jewish culture pointed to God. How could they possibly forget him? And yet this is exactly what God knows they will do. Follow along with me as I read chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground, where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Okay, let that kind of sink in for a moment. As powerful and as important and as present as God was to them, they were going to be tempted to forget him. They were going to settle down into the routine of life and forget God. And mark that, it's not a catastrophe that was going to lead them away from God. It was everyday life. Verse 12, lest when you've eaten and you're full and you've built good houses and live in them, that's us. We're going to go eat a good meal. We've built this church home. And then in verse 14, then your heart be lifted up and you forget your God. Worse, they would attribute life's blessings to themselves. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. As crazy as it sounds, God has to warn Israel not to forget him. And the sad thing is, within a couple generations, they do exactly that. Well, as much as it sounds ridiculous for us, if we're honest, we are no different than them. We can be tempted to forget the grace of God. When we go through a trial, we're quick to forget how he gave us grace to endure and even grow in the last trial. When we look at our homes and our bank accounts, we forget that it is God who gives generously. When we get caught up in the busyness of school or work or parenting, we forget to focus on the gospel and that we are products of grace. We've been studying through Jonah for the last few months, and the theme has been this relentless, expansive grace. And how easy is it to hear a sermon on Sunday and then Monday morning to quickly forget it? So as individuals and as a church, we must not forget that God has been so gracious to us. What is the solution? To remember the great works of our Lord. This is what Moses does. He begins to lay out the things that God has done, right? He says he brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He took you through the wilderness. He fed you the manna that was from heaven. Like Moses is reminding them of God's greatness and grace. And then in verse 18, you shall remember your Lord, your God. Okay, so here's kind of the simple and beautiful solution. Spend time remembering the amazing things that God has done in our lives. As individuals and as a church, we must make every effort to remind ourselves of God's graciousness to us. I think the first place we start is the gospel. As we've often said, preach the gospel to yourself every day. In other words, we must meditate on the gospel and pray through the gospel and study the gospel, this gospel that defines us. I mean, think about the amazing truths of the gospel, the idea that God created us to live for him, but all of us are rebels. Okay, you and me, every one of us, live in rebellion to God. And because God is a holy God, it says that he's going to pour out his wrath on the rebellion of men and women. And that should be the end of the story. No stories of grace, no stories of mercy, just stories of wrath. Deserved wrath. But God isn't through with his story, and so he sends Jesus Christ not only to live among us, but to die for us. He lives the perfect life that we were unable to. And then he goes to the cross. And in the magnificent climax of the Bible, God pours out his wrath on Jesus. instead of those of us who believe. Can you imagine that? My sins and the sins of every believer from all of time credited to Christ, and he was crushed for it. And then his righteousness, his perfect life, was credited to me. So that when God looks at me, he sees his son. Can you imagine? And not only that, but he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead to be this promise of new life. Now think about how life-changing it would be if you thought about that gospel every morning before you woke up. But before you woke up. Every morning when you woke up. Before, you're really godly, but afterwards it's even better. So you wake up and you contemplate and think about the gospel. You're reminding yourselves of grace, reminding yourselves of the goodness of God. But not only are we to remember the gospel, but we're to remember God's greatness as seen through his faithfulness. I mean, this is what Moses is doing. He's giving their salvation story through coming out of Egypt. Let me offer just a couple of applications. One is for those of you for whom life is going well, my challenge is to remember God. Never look around and think, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You are a product of grace, and you must daily remind yourself of that. And for those of you who are struggling, my challenge to you, remember God. Look to his faithfulness in the past. Remember the gospel and your salvation, and be encouraged that God will be faithful to you in this moment. As a church, this is why we come together each year, to celebrate our anniversary, to remember God's faithfulness to us. We never want to settle into this beautiful building and say, look at what we did. We never want to see someone come to faith or grow in their walk and pat ourselves on the back. We want to remember that our God is great. We must not forget that we are products of grace. I pray that we would never look around and give credit to any person or any persons as to why this church has been blessed. Rather, we look around and believe to the core of our being that all blessings come from God. You know, I think we've tried to do things right. We've tried to be faithful to the word. We've tried to love people. We've tried to be gospel-centered. We've tried to focus on the glory of Christ. But none of this earns us God's grace. We have been blessed for this simple reason. God is gracious. He has chosen to magnify himself through this church. On top of that, as much as we have tried to be faithful, we have often fallen short. This church is full of sinful people led by sinful people. And that alone should remind us that our God is gracious. In light of this, every year we set aside a Sunday to remember, to have a few people share their testimonies of God's grace. And even as they share about specific people or events, it's always God who they are crediting. Not Lighthouse, not people, but God. Psalm 105:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples." This morning is our time to make known his deeds among the peoples. Will you pray with me? Lord, we again are thankful for your incredible grace. And so our prayer this morning is simple. In the testimonies we hear, may each of us be reminded of your faithfulness, and may you receive all the glory. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're blessed to have our first testimonies be given by Andy and Tiffany Chuang and then Sammy Lee.
When I was 5, don't worry, this will only take a few hours, my sisters and I became the pastor's kids at Evergreen Baptist Church. For 30 years, we had lots and lots of aunties and uncles who were encouraging us in the Lord. In fact, Kenny and Patty Ceruta, I think I see Kenny back there, way, way back in the day was my youth advisor. Evergreen was my family, both spiritually and genetically. It was safe. It was my spiritual home. After our second child, Braden, was born, Andy felt the need to transition our family to a church closer to our home in the South Bay. Honestly, I didn't want to leave Evergreen. My whole family was there. The preaching from the word was convicting. This worship was really great. The potlucks, unbeatable. And the senior pastor seemed like a really cool guy. It seemed like a father to me. We finally decided to start attending Lighthouse in 2006. Through God's faithfulness, Lighthouse has transitioned to our new church family with similar blessings as Evergreen, preaching from the word that constantly points us to the cross, great worship as you saw today, and friends who are now like family to us. Although the potlucks, I'm not sure if takeout counts, but at least the restaurants are tasty. And as far as the pastors or elders, I grew up with most of them since childhood, and I'm not sure if they'll be offended or delighted by the fact that I no longer view them less like little brothers and more like fathers. Not because they're aging fast, I think most of them have all their hair, or because they have lots and lots of children, but rather because of their sacrificial giving of their time, their wise counsel, and how they care and shepherd our flock. Attributes of a father. Continuing with the theme of family, I'd like to close with four areas I'm especially grateful for. First, accountability through the church family. This past year has been difficult for Andy and I. We've had a lot of struggles and sleepless nights. Dan and Kalani Mark have graciously and sacrificially come alongside us. I can't really see those big old lights up here. Dan and Kalani have graciously come alongside us to pray for us and give us godly counsel. Also, meetings with G and our Bible study at Friday nights have been a source of encouragement through God's word and through prayer support. Second, encouragement through the church family. For the past 8 years, I've been struggling with chronic pain and fatigue through an autoimmune disorder called lupus. And I really appreciate people like Jen and Kalani, Amy, Shell, and others just periodically checking in with me to see how I'm doing. Third, fellowship with the church family. I know Andy and I look forward to getting all bruised and banged up with our Lighthouse volleyball team on Sunday nights. I especially feel encouraged when Pastor Kim likes to spike the ball at me and Amy while we're haplessly in the back row. He pounds it pretty hard. We also enjoy going on little trips with friends in the church family. And I know our kids, me and Braden, really love having play dates after church with different kids. Finally, and probably most importantly, the shepherding of our children through the church family. I really appreciate all the teachers here that sacrificially give to our children. I know Vika and Trish with our children's ministry. Patty, she not only taught me as a child, but is now teaching my daughter Mia. And when I mentioned that to her this morning, she said, "How old is Patty?" Very young. I mean, Patty was young when she started. So Aaron, who sends us memory verses, about our kids' Bible verses, and then makes clothespins constantly for me because I keep losing Braden's. Jody, who gently reminds us, forgetful parents, when it's our turn to serve. Even as I was putting this very thought together for the testimony, I got 6 emails after 10 p.m. from like a bunch of teachers about the children's ministry potluck or picnic that's coming up. So true dedication there. So thank you to all the teachers, aunties and uncles, who are really building a strong foundation for our children, teaching them the gospel message in a fun and really meaningful way. So how has God been faithful to us through Lighthouse? By giving us a church we can call family and a place we can call home. Thank you.
Good morning. So I've had a few weeks to think about how God's been gracious and faithful to me and my family through this church. And a lot of things come to mind, but I think the one that stands out the most is that since coming here, I've really had a greater understanding of the depth of my sin. And I think that's become more clear probably through the steady, consistent preaching of here at Lighthouse are the deep issues of the human heart. So one example would be kind of this idea about how we're all worshipers. And we've heard this, if you've been coming here for a while, you've heard this over and over again, that I'm a worshiper, and even when I'm not worshiping God, I'm still worshiping something. And those somethings can be, you know, we've heard Pastor Kim talk about this before, things like personal comfort, I'm guilty of that, financial security, approval of others. Another example would be this idea that whenever I'm like acting unbecoming, being impatient with my children, complaining, or just having a bad attitude, I can ask myself this question: what is it that I'm wanting that I'm not getting? And in that answer, I kind of know what I'm worshiping. So this is kind of, it's been good for me because it's sort of simplified things for me. It's kind of like helped me, pare it down and kind of get to the heart issue of what is it that's motivating me to do what I'm doing. It helps shed light on my motivations for literally every significant decision I make in my life. It helps me understand why I might have conflict in my marriage. Explains my attitude in traffic, why I spend money the way I do, how I invest my time, and why I get anxious over the things I get anxious over. So, I've been coming to church for a couple decades. I'm a little bit older than some of you out there. So I've understood that I've had sin in my life, but I don't think I've ever really understood it kind of to the degree that I do now. And I think that's been important because it's given me really a truer understanding of my need for Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. It's a work that not only gives me unconditional forgiveness of those sins and eternal life, but also gives me hope that I can overcome some of those sins, even in this life, a measure of joy in knowing I'm trying to live how God intended me to live, and hope that I have a relationship with the living God. So for me, that's probably the biggest thing. But I think it also kind of doesn't make sense to talk about the blessings of a church and not talk about the people of the church, all of you, really. So I kind of made a list here of people and relationships that have blessed me and my family in big and small ways. I want to say that it's definitely not exhaustive. It's not all-inclusive. In fact, as I was going through this, the list got longer and longer, but I'm being long-winded as it is, so we got to cut it off somewhere. But here it goes. So number one, as my wife mentioned, this has been kind of a time of trials for us this year. And we really were blessed by people that came alongside us, Dan and Kalani Mark, she mentioned, Pastor Kim as well. They kind of reached out. They walked alongside us. They were gentle and compassionate and at the same time gave practical and living examples of godliness and marriage and parenting and living. So we're really blessed by that. By the fellowship of our Sunday night volleyball team, she also mentioned that for the past 4 years. By Chris Narasaki, who I don't necessarily talk to every week, but every few months she'll just kind of come up to me and let me know that God has brought me to her mind and that she's praying for me and my family. By our friends Mike and Nancy Yoon, by their generosity, both of them, and by Mike, who 2 years ago decided to come to Lighthouse and kind of jumped in with both feet and in some ways never looked back, so his faith in that has blessed me. I'm blessed that I can get a free medical consultation any given Sunday because we have like 100 doctors, dentists, physical therapists here at this church. I'm blessed by Ted Yang, who generously supports me when I fundraise, by Eric Yonemura, who writes my 6-year-old child a get-well card when he knows they're under the weather, and by Steve Park, who gives my wife tomatoes from his backyard after all these years. He started doing that when we were in Bible study, and we've been in the same Bible study for the last 5 years, but he's still doing it. I've recently been blessed by the SEBA Knowledge, Brent and Kelly, getting to go to their photography seminar and seeing how they approach their professional photography differently because of their passion for the Lord. I'm blessed most mornings by being greeted by two white-haired guys, about 5'10", late 40s, maybe late 50s, early 60s. They're generous of smile, firm of handshake, and they're both goofy. I'm talking about Kenny Ceruta and Tom Walker. I would have thrown Bill Hirokawa in there, but he's not as goofy as them. I'm blessed to see the children of our church grow up before my very eyes as I get older. And finally, as much as I've been blessed by all these people I mentioned and many more, I've been equally blessed when we've had the opportunity to kind of come alongside others that are in need, just as we have our needs, maybe to provide a listening ear, hopefully remind them of truth, encourage them in faith. We probably could do this more, and I think we should seek those opportunities out more, but he blesses me during those times with the privilege of deeper and more trusting relationships with those people, with satisfaction in knowing that in small ways I'm living for him, by reminding me that life is more than all about me, It's kind of this paradox, you know, I go into this thinking I'm helping them, but in fact, God is not just helping them, he's actually growing and blessing me. So, you know, I truly do feel blessed that God has been gracious to me and my family in so many different ways through you, our church family. Thank you.
Sorry, the lights are really bright. I can feel my eyebrows singeing. I'm just kidding. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Sammy Lee. I'm a senior at high school, and I've been attending Lighthouse for 9 years. Today, I'm going to share with you all how God has grown my love for the gospel and Christ through my time here at Lighthouse. Before Lighthouse was planted, my family and I attended Evergreen SGV all the way out in San Gabriel Valley. I don't remember how much about Evergreen, but I do remember getting baptized along with my brother Justin and about 50 other people. And what a joyous day that was. It was shortly after I was baptized that my family began attending Lighthouse Community Church. It was God's perfect timing for our family to attend Lighthouse. Even though I was baptized, I didn't know the next steps to take to grow in my walk with the Lord. At our new church, God provided me with flashlights. The children's ministry, where I learned the gospel every week and basic truths of God's love for me. I could really see God's love being demonstrated through my Sunday school teachers and how they wanted to connect with each child in a personal way, even though I was super shy. Fast forward to junior high, I was still a very shy girl, and youth group was one of the scariest things I have ever encountered. But through the youth leaders, God showed his love for me once again, and God in his abundant grace and mercy helped me to open up. Not just to the other kids in youth group, but with the youth leaders, and most importantly, to God himself. From junior high to now, I can say that God has definitely made me want to be more like his son through my time here at Lighthouse. He has shown me that I'm a sinner in need of his grace and mercy. He has shown me that I must love others the way he does, even though it can be challenging. He has definitely blessed me with an amazing church family that wants to invest in my life, and I want to bless others in the same way. The messages that are preached are always connected with the gospel and the truth it holds. God has grown me with a love for going on missions trips with Lighthouse's youth group to Mexico and Johnny and friends to share the same love that he has for me with others. By the short missions to Mexico and Johnny and friends, my love for Christ has grown even more, and so has my love to serve others. God has also blessed me with a love for music. I've been in my high school choir for the last 2 years and recently had a chance to serve Lighthouse's children's choir. And now, every now and then, I'm blessed to help serve on the youth worship team. At my time at Lighthouse, I've been blessed with amazing teachings and leadership at youth. Every week, I'm able to learn about our great God and what I can do in my life to be more like Christ. I have to say that I have had many disciples and godly women of Lighthouse, and I've grown and benefited from each and every one of them. And through the youth ministry, Light Infusion, I'm able to connect and fellowship with believers of all ages. God has used not only me, but my family also as lights. Growing up, my parents had, and to this day have, servant hearts. They love to serve others and glorify our God. I'm so blessed also with amazing brothers, Justin and Trevor, and they encourage me every day and are super hilarious. God's abundant grace has become even more clear in my life, and I'm so grateful for his love and mercy. And he's shown me that I'm a sinner who needs a loving Savior. A verse that is a blessing and an encouragement to me now and through my high school years is James 4:14-15. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. This verse reminds me that every single day is in the Lord's hands and that we must trust him at all times. It reminds me that we must live each day as if it were our last. Being lights in a world that is getting darker and darker each day, loving those who are hard to love, and ultimately glorifying our amazing God. Thank you.
Let's continue to hear the faithfulness of God as we invite Dan Kawakami to share his testimony, followed by Claudine Raja.
Good morning. My name is Dan Kawakami, and I've been attending Lighthouse since June of 2003, a few months after Lighthouse was first launched. I'm very thankful for the work God has done here at this church. He's shown his grace from the early days at Magruder to Torrance High to now in our new church building. I can think of many examples of his grace, but I'll limit it to only three, all of which have deeply blessed me and my family. The first example of God's grace through Lighthouse came back in November of 2003. It was then that my oldest brother, Mark, passed away. It was a very, very difficult time for my family, and especially for my sister-in-law, who was 8 months pregnant at the time of his passing. I remember many Lighthouse people offering their assistance during that time. A good number of Lighthouse people came out to the funeral, even though they had never, ever even met my brother. I was touched that people could be so supportive, not only to me, but my family as well. I also remember quite a few people from church giving money to my sister-in-law and her family to help pay for their expenses. My mom was amazed at the generosity of a group of people who, again, hadn't ever even met my brother. God is very, very good. And God showed his grace through this church in a very difficult time. Although that was a sad time for our family, I know God used that experience to demonstrate the love of God to my parents, my sister-in-law, and even to my niece, who was unborn at the time but is now a beautiful 9-year-old girl. The second example of God's grace to me through Lighthouse has to do with my wife and son. When I first came to Lighthouse in 2003, I was a bachelor with no hopes of finding that special someone. Thankfully, through the ministry of Lighthouse, not that Lighthouse has a ministry for this, just had to clarify that. Through being at Lighthouse, thankfully, God brought Sandy into my life, and so I'm very grateful. We've been married now for almost 5 years, and I love being married to her, a wonderful woman, and I love that we can worship and serve here together at this church. In 2010, Jaden was added to our family, but prior to his birth, pregnancy wasn't happening exactly as we had planned or in the timely fashion we had hoped. Being at a church with so many children, it was difficult at times wondering when God would bless us with a little one of our own. I distinctly remember Pastor Kim telling me that he and Jen were praying for us. I knew when he said that to me that he wasn't just saying that, but it really was truly from his heart. When we eventually did become pregnant with Jaden, we were overjoyed and yet anxious too. So we enlisted faithful prayer warriors from all around, especially from Lighthouse, to pray for us every step of the way as we went through the entire process. God answered our prayers and used the people of Lighthouse to uplift us the whole time. When our son was finally born on December 21st, 2010, I had to thank so many people who had prayed for us for so long. Again, God is good, and God used Lighthouse to bless us immensely. My last example of God's grace has to do with our spiritual family here at Lighthouse. I can honestly say I've always wanted to be a part of a close-knit church, all committed to glorifying God, working tirelessly for his name's sake, and still able to find time to have lunch together after service and play basketball on Monday nights. I love our family here at Lighthouse. I'm so blessed by our spiritual aunties and uncles in the children's ministry who teach our kids God's truths and allow us to enjoy the Sunday morning worship services. I even appreciate the crazy uncles of our church, you know who you are, who are fun to talk with and joke with once a week. I appreciate our spiritual parents, our leaders here at this church, who are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and are steadfast in preaching Christ and Him crucified above all else. I admire all of our Christ-like servants who work behind the scenes and provide food for snacks, make sure the mics are working and the slides are seen, who put up tables and chairs, and all the while never ask for any credit at all. I enjoy spending time with my brothers and sisters in our small group as we study the Bible together and grow in our understanding of God and marriage. Being here at Lighthouse is very, very special to me and my family, and I'm very thankful. God is at work in this church, and I'm glad I could be a part of it. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry here at Lighthouse Community Church. I will be forever grateful for the grace you've shown me and my family these 9 years. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Claudine. I've been attending Lighthouse since 2007. And today I want to share about God's faithfulness in my life. I was born and raised in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I came to the U.S. as an international student in 2005. Went to college in North Carolina for my senior year. When I graduated a year later in 2006, I focused on looking for a job in New York and LA because I knew I wanted to live in the city. 3 months later, I got a job offer in LA, so I moved out here super excited, thinking I was going to do big things. Little did I know, my first year in LA ended up being particularly tough. I was struggling in every area of my life. My new job, learning to adapt to the American culture, feeling homesick all the time, dealing with my work visa application, which was a very extensive process at that time, and having some not-so-good experiences with friends that I made that year. Even though it seemed like I had it all to my family and the people around me, on the inside, I was empty. I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. Then, I met Dan Lim, one of our local missionaries at a 4th of July barbecue. Turns out that was one of his international student outreach activity, and it was hosted at Pastor Kim's house. When I was first introduced to Dan, I instantly felt like he was different from any other person that I met in LA. At the barbecue, I remember meeting Amy and Jason, Shelly and Kelly. They came up to me and introduced themselves, and their kids, little toddlers at that time, were playing and running around everywhere. They just really welcomed me and made me feel at home at the party. I saw something different about this community in the way they treated me and showed me love that night. It was at that barbecue that Dan invited me to Lighthouse. He and Jess would drive me every Sunday to church, and after attending service for a few times, I knew God wanted me back in church. Growing up back home, I went to church and I went to Sunday school, learned Bible stories, but I was still walking my own way. But God is good, and I guess He always knew what His plans of restoration for me were. So much has changed and happened. I now live my life God's way. The last 5 years of my life has been the most encouraging and humbling time of my life, because now I understand my need for Christ and finding my identity in Him. Everything that I used to think was important in life isn't anymore. I've learned and grown so much throughout my time here at Lighthouse. I've gained a clear understanding of the gospel through solid teaching of the Bible. I'm so thankful for our church leaders for that. Through small group, I've had the blessing of expanding my own knowledge in reading and reflecting upon God's word and making prayer a priority in my life. I drew closer to God in ways I've never imagined. Now, whenever I'm in trouble or feel sad, I know I can turn to God because He is the one I can truly rely upon. And at church, I can turn to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, God has blessed me with an amazing discipler who loves me and always wants the best for me. She just faithfully prays for me and keeps me accountable. And it's a sister in Christ who I can walk alongside and serve with. I'm so grateful that I'm surrounded by people who love the Lord and are genuine, especially the women in this church who set godly examples for me. It's such a blessing to be in God's family, and I know I've had the chance to catch a glimpse of what heaven would be like by being a part of this church family. Right now, I'm serving as one of the servant leaders in Spectrum, which is Lighthouse's International Students Ministry. God has definitely grown my love for the lost, especially toward international students. I want them to have the opportunity to know Him and encounter Him just like I did. Serving in Spectrum, I get to meet students from all over the world, and I'm reminded that they are His precious creations too, and God loves them. I truly enjoy investing my time and resources in the students that we serve and how I get to share my faith and God's love with them. I'm humbled that God would choose me, sinful as I am, to further his kingdom. I still fail all the time. The journey will never stop. And I realize how much I have to work on. But God, he is ever so faithful, and his love for me just never ends. It's amazing to think that every season of my life was made for a purpose, in the right order, and how he saved me. And it's through these seasons that I encounter Jesus over and over again and get to enjoy his presence in my life. Just what a great God we have. Lastly, I wanted to close by just asking you to keep me in prayer. The next year or so, I need to make a decision if I will continue to stay in the U.S. or move back to Malaysia. There are many uncertainties, and knowing that I'm not in control of the situation drives me crazy. I really love living in LA now. My job, my friends, this church, my brothers and sisters that I serve with in Spectrum. But one thing that's heavy on my heart is my family back home who are not saved. I cannot bear thinking that I may not get to see them in heaven, and I want to be able to minister to them. So just please pray that God will give me clarity and peace for all the different feelings that I have and my fear of change and the uncertainties. Also for my family's salvation, that God will give me the opportunity to share the gospel with them and their hearts will not be hardened. Most importantly, they will recognize their sin and their need for Jesus and that Jesus loves them. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Dearly Father, we sing "Great is Your Faithfulness," and we just want to make it the prayer of our hearts that not just this morning, but every day in our lives and every day in the life of this church, that we would remember that great is Your faithfulness. Lord, I know that there's many here whose stories don't sound like the ones that were shared, and they're struggling. And yet I pray that the theme that they would remember is that You are a faithful God, and You're gracious, and You're mighty to save. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We pray that You are glorified today. And receive the blessing of the benediction. May the love and holiness of God our Father, and the grace and mercy of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you. And may you leave this place remembering that great is His faithfulness. Amen and amen.